I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow podcast, and this is the Tinder Swindler episode. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Professional Paris. You probably know that I'm a big fan of good hair. And the SteamPod 3.0 with patented steam technology is the go-to hairstyler for pros. The best thing is, whether you feel like creating natural-looking waves or want to go straight and sleek, the SteamPod can do both. The 3.0 is now thinner and lighter for improved comfort when styling. It has an integrated water tank for steam, a continuous steam flow and heat control for less damaging styling. It's available in L'Oreal Professional Partner Salons nationwide. Hello from Spain. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Good Glow today. I have to say, since I came on holidays, I have just dropped everything. And I have been sitting in silence a lot, being very present with my family. I thought I'd be getting loads of work done over here, but it's been the opposite. And I've just really embraced just being and embraced the stillness. And that's where the whispers get through about what I need to do when I get home and reevaluate where I'm at. And it's just been such a restful time, and I'm so grateful for it. It was so needed. Today, I am bringing you a very special podcast, and I'm really happy that I'm bringing this episode to you on the week that The Good Glow was nominated for 4 podcast awards. And I'm so thrilled to have been nominated in the Spotlight category alongside Blind Boy, David McWilliams, Tommy Tiernan. And it's great to see a female podcast in there. And that's the reason I started The Good Glow, because I wanted to give space to women to tell their stories. I wanted us to learn from each other. I wanted us to share our stories, to empower each other and inspire each other. And my podcast is nothing without you. So to see The Good Glow in there was an unbelievable moment for me this week. And I think that's why I've been so quiet on Instagram, because I've been trying to just take that in and appreciate everything. So thank you so much for that. So today, I'm speaking to Pernilla Shalom, and Pernilla was the star of the Netflix documentary, The Tinder Swindler. And this is quite a different podcast for me, but I really wanted to highlight romance fraud and victim shaming, because I think we don't talk enough about it. So Pernilla and her now soul sister, Cecilia Felhoy, were conned out of thousands of dollars by somebody they met on Tinder. They went public with their story to warn other women about frauds like this. So this guy Simon told them that he was the son of a billionaire diamond mogul. He was allegedly taking money from other women to fund his lifestyle, to meet more women to continue the scam. So Pernilla met Simon on Tinder in 2018, but when they met up, they realized there was no spark between them and that they'd be better as friends. So they built this really strong friendship over 8 months and became best mates. They traveled the world together, but it was only when Pernilla was contacted by a Norwegian reporter to say that they were investigating a serial fraudster that it all became clear to her and everything unraveled. So she confronted Simon on the phone at one stage in the documentary, and that's the point where she falls to the floor and we witness her world falling apart. By this point, she says she's given him thousands of dollars from her savings and that he had sent her fake checks back to pay her back. So Simon was convicted of 4 charges of fraud and sentenced to 15 months in prison. However, he only served 5 months, and he was never charged for the alleged crimes in the Tinder Swindler and denies all the claims made about him. So in the aftermath of the show, it was streamed over 50 million times within a couple of weeks. It was at the number one spot on Netflix all over the world. And now the documentary has been nominated for 5 Emmy Awards. And you don't have to have seen The Tinder Swindler to enjoy this podcast and hear Pernilla's story. So in the aftermath of the documentary, people all over the world were saying, you know, how could people fall for this? How could these women be so stupid? And this was victim shaming. Pernilla told me that in the aftermath of this story going public, that she was suicidal, and thankfully she had someone to turn to, her mum, and her mum helped her through that really dark time. But by selflessly sharing her story, she's helping the world address how we treat victims of crime, especially women. So victim shaming is stopping people report crimes like this, especially romance fraud, because there's a lot of shame involved in it. And I'm really glad that I could give space to Pernilla on this episode to raise awareness around this topic. She also highlights how, yes, this was the worst thing to ever happen to her, but good things have come from it, and helping other women has now become a driving force for her going forward. This podcast shows the power of women supporting women and how together we are most definitely stronger. Before we get into it, preparation is well underway for the Good Glow Retreat in September. I can't wait to finally get to host my workshop, spend the weekend in the mountains, eat beautiful, organic, local food, and have some great conversations. We cannot believe how many of you are coming alone. We're so excited to meet you and have the best time together. So if you would like to join us by yourself, don't be shy, because most people are coming alone. And you can find a link to the retreat in this episode's show notes. So let's get into Pernilla. Pernilla, welcome to the Good Glow. Really grateful for your time today. We're actually both in Marbella at the moment, enjoying the sun. So thank you so much for coming on to the Good Glow.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay, there's so much to talk about. Five Emmy nominations.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of downloads. Let's start though with the Emmys and how you felt to be nominated for Outstanding Documentary this year.
I still don't think like anything is really real. It's so weird. But like when people come to me, it's like most watched documentary. And I can still be like, oh, really? Like, have people seen me? Like, I can get a bit surprised. But it's a lot of really, really talented people behind this documentary, especially Felicity Morris and Bernie Higgins, who made this movie with us. And I mean, I think they deserve so much cred to when it comes to all of this. But yeah, now I'm just hoping and waiting to see if I get an invite for the Emmys or not. So
you have to be there. Let's talk about the time when the Tinder Swindler was being released. Like, was it released worldwide on Netflix from the very start?
Yeah, it was released worldwide from the very start. And I don't think like I could really like catch up what was really going on, because we had a press schedule literally for 2 weeks. So what I was doing from morning to like late evenings was interview and everything. I didn't really go out except like really quick to the supermarket or something. So I think it really took me some time before I realized how big the documentary really have gotten and how talked about it was. So for me, it took almost like a month or something before I really started to realizing, especially like walking down the street and people just like staring at you. So yeah, it was a little bit of a shock.
And were you nervous about it coming out, or did you expect it to connect with so many people?
I mean, they prepared us quite a bit before, but I still like found it very surrealistic. I sometimes say, like, I don't know what the weirdest part like that have happened to me, like the story in the documentary or the documentary itself and the aftermath of it. I still find like both of those sides like so surrealistic still, that it feels like I'm watching someone else and it's not me.
Yeah. And when you say that they prepared you for it, like, did they obviously knew that it was going to be such a big hit?
Yeah. So like, I think it was like 2-3 weeks before the premiere, they came and then they notified us that they were going to put a lot of marketing in it. Like, for example, they rebuilt an entire subway in London. It was put up in, where else was it? Like Sunset Boulevard. they put it up in New York, like it would, like in Times Square. So that's when I realized, like, whoa, this can actually be quite big. But they also prepared us, like, with psychologists and everything, like, to help us deal with it. So I think that was really good, because it's a lot of stress and a lot of people opinion, like, throwing at you, even good and bad. So people always have an opinion when you are on something like this. So, I mean, like, you're getting judged and praised. It's, yeah. So I think, like, the training before was very, very useful to use for all of us, to be honest.
Yeah. And like you say, like, you must think that your life, it's like you're almost looking at your life from the outside in, because so many things have happened over the last couple of years that are just probably blowing your mind every single day. Can we talk about your first encounter with Simon, and what was your life like back then?
I mean, I had a very good life. Like, I had newly become single after a long relationship. I had quite good economy. So, I mean, I would say that I lived an amazing life. Like, I was out traveling. I have a lot of friends in different countries as well. So I traveled a lot. I, you know, could go out to do anything I really wanted. It wasn't like I would go on a shopping spree on Chanel every day. But I mean, I had a good life. I shouldn't complain. But of course, back then, I can still think about, like, oh, why did I complain? You know, like, now I would do anything to just have my life back. But no. And then my friends thought it was time for me to start dating, because I hadn't started dating since I split with my ex-fiance that I had for over 7 years. So I did like everybody else do, you know, you download the dating apps. I mean, that's how everybody meet these days. It's very normal. So, and then I matched up with Simon, for example. So that's how we, yeah, got to know each other from the beginning.
And you said in the documentary that when you met up, there was just no spark there, but you became best friends, which yeah. is, you know, when you think about what happened, like, is it almost harder that this was a betrayal from a friend than, say, a lover?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, like, I got betrayed by lovers before, so that have sort of happened. But to have someone that you think is really your, like, really, really good friend to do this to you, I mean, like, it really affected even my other friendships after that. Like, I have had really hard time, like, trusting people in general, besides just trusting people, like trusting a date or something, like trusting a guy. But it really affected me. I sometimes, like, I have starting to become better now. I can still have days, but where I think, like, as long as someone does something nice to me, there is, like, an evil agenda behind it, you know?
Yeah, oh my God. I think in the documentary, like, it wasn't maybe as clear as what really happened was that you were friends for months and months and months. This wasn't something that happened over a yeah. number of weeks.
No. It's a little bit, like, different, like, with our timing. For one of the girls, it was just, like, 3-4 months, like, everything happened. For me, this was going on for, like, over a year. He didn't start to, like, fraud me until after, I think it was like 8 months or something. And I mean, like, then we were talking on the phone, like, hanging out all the time. Like, it wasn't, you know, some random person you just met once in a while. It was like hanging out all the time, because this is what these, like, psychopaths are very, very good at, is that they get to know you, they ask the questions that you, like, want to talk about, they get to know, like, how to work you, especially, like, work all your emotions for their own benefit. So, I mean, he worked me up for several months to get me exactly where he wanted me to be so he could defraud me. But also he got it help because he used real, like, magazines, you know, real news report about the family he said that he come from. So the identity he had built up, this really happened, it was really written about this family. He just twisted the story a little bit. But I mean, like, you could Google the facts everywhere.
But when you think about it, Pernilla, and, you know, you got on so well, and like you said, this was an 8-month friendship. Mm-hmm. Do you think any part of it on his side was actually real, that he really did like you and he really did want to be your friend?
I think when it comes to when someone is so sick as a narcissist, they are incapable of loving anyone else besides themselves. And I think that everyone should be aware of this. Like, you can't change that. It's not like a broken leg that you can fix. It's a missing piece in the brain. It's not something that you just become one day. You are born. And then they just learn how to adapt in this world to make and look and act like normal people. I mean, like, he never have loved anyone besides himself.
Obviously, in the documentary, like, it was so raw and so scary when it was all unfolding and, you know, the cameras were following you, and that moment in that room where you break down and you're on the floor, was that the rock bottom moment for you? Was that the scariest point?
Yeah, I think so, because that's like when I did go, like, you know, like almost 3-4 weeks thinking that the police was going to arrest him. So I was still like pretending to be his friend and just hoping for the police to do their work so I could help them, because that is the reason why I even went to Munich, was to have him arrested. And then a couple of hours before, they just say they can't make it. So for me then, it was like, I can't do this anymore. And the newspaper wanted to record it while I'm like confronting him, because I said I can't be in contact with him anymore. And that was like, no, it was very emotional. And I mean, after that, he called me, sent me death threats and everything. So it was very hurtful. Like, I still have problems watching that piece of the movie, to be honest.
And when you watched that and you saw how well it was put together and how well the story was told, did you feel like you were going up against him and helping women all over the world who may find themselves in similar positions?
Yeah, I mean, it has been, especially me and Cecilia's goal, even from the beginning, you know, when we started this, like 2019, just to put his face out everywhere and tell our story with our faces and not cover ourselves up and not be ashamed. So, yeah, we were really hoping that, you know, people would feel this story and help people as well, you know, in similar situation, not only when it comes to fraud, but you can be in different type of relationships, like with a psychopath or a narcissist, you can end up in a lot of different situations. So, no, I was really happy and, you know, when you saw it and saw how well made it was. But of course, like, when you're sitting there and it's yourself, you're thinking about these like small things that no one else is thinking about. Yeah. You can be like, why is that on? That doesn't make sense. That is not what happened. You know, like, you can become like, but it doesn't, you know, really matter.
And when it was released, so it's like 50 million downloads within a matter of weeks. How much did your life change over those couple of weeks?
I think like the biggest change have been that I've been in like so many interviews and things like that. I think like my social media, like my Instagram, sort of blew up. But otherwise, like, I live my life like basically the same as I did before. The only like big change that have happened is that I am mostly in Spain, but I'm still in Sweden as well. But I think that is like the biggest change. But I mean, I still like work, and I, you know, I go to bed at night, go up early in the morning. Like, I live my life quite similar as before. I mean, like, we're still struggling with the aftermath. It's not like making this documentary like cleared us off or the problems. We did get like very good help that took away like a third of the debts from everyone with the GoFundMe. But I mean, I'm still struggling with my court cases in the Netherlands. I sued one of the biggest banks in the Netherlands, the ING. So I am waiting for a court decision now. Like, it's been stressing me out so much. I still have had these like things that we even had before to struggle and deal with that I had to deal with. I know that sometimes things can look like it's just glitter and glamour and fun, but
you're left with the aftermath.
Especially social media, we show our goods parts and not the bad parts.
Is kind of working to help women around the world and working, you know, with Celia and the other girls, is that, are you turning that into a business now?
Yeah, right now, because it became too much. Right now, I've been really enjoying doing the speeches. So me and Cecilia traveled a little bit together, and then I've done a few parts myself as well. So I talk a lot about motivational speaking and women empowerment, especially. I was in a really good one, like in Lithuania and in Dubai. And no, I really enjoyed it, and I learned so much. You meet so many interesting people, and I feel like I'm very developing as a person, and that is something that I really want to work more with and do things with. So I am hoping that, but it's also very scary because it's like when you only do this, it's a bit uncertain. So I said, I'm going to give it through after the summer, and then I'm going to see if I maybe get back to a normal 8-to-5 job. But right now it's working with the speeches and everything, and I really enjoy it. So,
yeah, and I think when you speak from your heart, you can do that forever and ever. It will always be a great speech when it comes from there, you know. So yeah, I'll be watching out to see what you do next. When it comes to that time with Simon and that part of your life, is it like a blur now? Like, was there any part of you that was suspicious about him, or did he do such a good job of being who you thought he was that it never even crossed your mind that he could be doing something terrible to you?
It's always so easy, like, oh, when you look back at it, you should have, like, oh, that was a warning sign. Same thing when you've been in like a bad relationship or something with a cheating boyfriend, you'd be like, oh, that was a red flag. But it's very hard to see it when you are in it. But I wouldn't say that I was all blindsided. Of course, like, I questioned him with some parts, and he could speak it away like very, very good. And I think you have to remember, like, he adapts to you. So he did not behave. He was not the same person with me as he was with Eileen or as he was with Cecilia. He was a different person and becoming a person that you would like. So if he would spend time with you, he would be a totally different person, depending on how he have read you and asked all these questions to you to understand who you are as a human and what type of human you want and need in your life. I know that we love it, you know, watching these old Disney movies, you know, like feeling this instant connection and blown away with crazy love. And I can say that, like, me watching Aladdin is not the same anymore. I'm just thinking, why is this stalker sociopath stalking Jasmine? You know, like pretending to be someone else, and we turned it into something romantic. I'm like, I can't watch that movie anymore. It's totally ruined me.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but it's true. If you think about a psychopath and go in and watch Aladdin, you're gonna see it with completely different eyes. How comes he stalks her after meeting her just for this, like, little bit? Makes up an imaginary life and everything. It's not normal. Like, it's not something that happens. You don't normally feel that. You should watch your back if that, like, happens, when you feel like you would drop everything around you for this person.
Oh my god, and that makes so much sense, that the person would become who you want them to be, so that therefore you think that they've been sent to you, you know, they're perfect in every way, but of course no human is. And what was the moment, Pernilla, that it all started to unravel for you, and it all became clear who he really was?
I mean, like, I had suspicions, like, for example, like, my money didn't arrive. I was starting questioning, like, this is sometimes the story, and have everything, like, unwrapped, like, afterwards. I mean, like, I started lying for him, for example, when he asked me for more money. I was like, something fishy is going on. So I went to the bank with all my papers, but the bank legitified everything. And they were like, no, it's not a problem. Everything looks like it should be. So if you go with bank documents to a bank and they say everything is fine, the money should arrive soon, everything is okay, you think that it should be okay. But then when I really find out, it wasn't until the news reporter from Ouija contacted me. And that was beginning, that was in January 2019.
So obviously from that moment you became really concerned about your safety then.
I was, like, because, like, I, the first thing I did was to go into the police. You know, I trusted what they say. It wasn't like I mistrusted them. So first thing I did was to go to the police, and they said that they were trying to arrange like an arresting warrant because he had already booked me a ticket to see him in Munich for the day after. So I went to Munich, but then police called like 3 hours before my flight and said that they couldn't arrange an international arrest warrant, and they couldn't do it right now. So that's when I brought on the VD team instead, so I would feel like a little bit safe and have someone, you know, like in my back and by my side, because I really wanted him arrested. And if it wasn't going to happen in Munich, I thought it was going to happen just a couple of days later or like a week later or something. And I didn't want him to know that I know, so I could help to show where he was. Because he always told me where he was. He always went to see me. So yeah, that's when it really unraveled. But this is like hard for me to talk because I can get like very sad thinking back about all the people that like knew about me that could have helped me but never did. And I think like with my story, the most hurtful thing wasn't that Simon wasn't my best friend or that Simon defrauded me, that I lost all my money. That was not like the most hurtful thing, even though that is very hurtful. It was that so many people knew about me. I just wasn't worth even a 5 or 10 second phone call to anyone. You know, I felt useless. And I'm still, until today, never want another person walking this earth feeling the way that I did. And I mean, he even tried, you know, to get me onto the scam like this. And I was like, oh my God, it would never do that. You know, I don't, people can sometimes ask like, oh, why haven't you made a civil lawsuit taking his money? I was like, he only gets money from fraud. That is blood money for me. Like, I don't want them. It's disgusting. I would never, you know, benefit on other people getting hurt just for me. Like, no, I wouldn't be able to go to sleep at night.
Just a short break to thank L'Oreal Professional for supporting the Good Glow this season. They believe in the powerful combination of advanced research and professional expertise to give you the hair you've always wanted. Their most innovative products are used and approved by some of the greatest names in hairdressing, allowing them to be at the head of both trends and technology. And the Steampod 3.0 just got better with up to 91% less damage. It's up to 2 times faster, up to 2 times smoother styling. So this summer, what's it going to be? The blow dry effect or Hollywood waves? You can shop at all L'Oreal Professional partner salons, including petermark.ie. And that's why so many people connected with you from all over the world, because they could see the good in you and what you were doing, going up against him, doing this for other women, other victims, telling your story, putting yourself out there, which is so hard. I can't even imagine what you've been through over the last few months since that Netflix show came out. Will you tell us about the first time you met Celia?
Oh, that is like that, the happy story with this. I think that even, I think everyone should remember this. Like, even if bad things happen to you, I just want to say like that there is a reason. It's very hard to see it then, and it maybe take time and you need to fight a lot, but there is always a reason. So no, I would say like for me to have had, and the first time I met Cecilia was in person in London. We had been in phone before since like the magazine of VG was released, and we have never let each other go like since that day. Like, she has been my best friends ever since, like, because there is no one else that like really understands me. And I mean, like, we went through all this fight like together, then Eileen came in the movie like later in the story. But I mean, we have always had this like special connection, you know, like someone who like really understands you. Like, it's almost like we speak our own little language.
And what do people, like, walking down the street when they see you two together, what do they say to you?
I mean, like, a lot of, especially women, I think, like, coming up, and I still can get like, oh, really? You know, like, they can become like that. So, like, you nailed him. Like, it's fun. Like, I really appreciate it.
When this was all unfolding, and I know you've spoken before that so many people suffer in silence and they may have been conned in some way and they don't tell any of their friends or family. Did you suffer in silence, Pernilla, or did you tell somebody close to you?
Yeah, no, I did. When all this happened, I called my father, and I think that was like the real big help for me, because I was like, you even have to call my mother, because like I can't talk with her. I was really embarrassed, you know, and people were very judgmental. I remember like I was going to my work and then people find out what happened to me, you know, all these gossip started. Like, oh my God, I would never do that. And it's like, this is the reason why people don't report fraud, for example, because like they're ashamed, yeah. But there's nothing to be ashamed about, I promise you. Everyone have gotten defrauded one way or another.
And when you talk about like victim shaming there, and you know, obviously it's such a big topic, and it's probably, you know, something that's become really important in the aftermath of Tinder Swindler is victim shaming. And there's so much of it goes on through so many different things, like young women getting attacked late at night. It's become a really important subject, hasn't it? Like when you go now and you do those talks and you're giving your speeches, what's your message?
It is that we have targeted women for such a long time. Like, for example, when it comes to fraud, for example, we love judging women. So if a woman gets defrauded by a man, it's like, stupid women, blame yourself. If a man gets defrauded by a woman, it's evil woman, poor man, for example. And yeah. I think like what I talk so much about when it comes to the victim shaming and blaming is that to give the information, especially like what happens, and to try and change people's mind and people's perspective about this as well. And also when you talk with these like corporations, like banks or police, it's also about like how you treat the victims. For example, like a police, when they come into the office, when you speak about, for example, to people within the bank industry, it's about how they could recognize a fraud victim and what type of laws they can actually look into and try to make a change in their systems as well. I mean, my dream come true and my goal with all of this is to make law changes that protects fraud victim much better. And because I know the numbers in Sweden is that we drop, I think, 95 or 98% of all the fraud cases, all fraud reports that are getting in. So no wonder, you know, if it's that easy to commit fraud, that so many people do it as well.
And isn't that amazing that that's the work that you're doing now off the back of this? Do you wake up then with so much purpose? You know, you're on a mission to do this. It must be like really rewarding for you.
It is. Like right now, that's why I say like I love what I'm doing right now, because I feel that I'm making like a good impact. And then, you know, people could throw rotten tomatoes at me sometimes, you know, for what happened to me or whatever. But I'm like, oh, it's okay. I can take it. I'm a big girl, you know, like as long as I help people, it's worth it in the end, you know. So, no, it is very rewarding, and especially getting messages and talk with so many people that say that I really have helped them. I mean, that is the biggest reward for me. And, you know, like even when me and Cecilia started back in 2019, we just said, well, if we only can help one person, you know, like that's going to be worth everything. And that was Eileen, for example, was one of them. But there were also so many others as well, and so many companies. And yeah, but that was only Simon. There are a lot of Simons out there. So, I mean, I think we helped a lot of people that are in a similar situation. I think we have helped bring awareness to make sure that people don't end up in this situation, that they will think about the movie, they will think about us and think about a little warning flag. And I mean, like a big goal is to make it as difficult as possible for these fraudsters so they can't operate anymore. So you can't stop it completely, but you can stop it a bit and make it more difficult for them.
Yeah. And I think after everyone watched the documentary, the first thing they did was go and find you and Cecilia on Instagram, follow you guys. And then the next thing to do was Google, where is Simon now and what, yeah. How did he get away with it, basically. Do you hate talking about him?
I don't like to think, I mean, I more like to talk about things like in general, how fraudsters work in general. Moved on so much, like he don't affect my life today. He or they did affect me, but they don't affect me anymore. I was a victim. I am not a victim anymore. I don't like to see myself as a victim. I had something tragical happen to me, but it doesn't define who I am. I hope I even gave a wake-up call to police worldwide in the European Union on the lack on how the system really works, because unless all their errors and all the mistakes that they have done, not taking victims, for example, seriously, everybody then realized how many cases it was. No one wanted to do an international arrest warrant. I really hope to make a change that they would do this again, because so many people can ask us, like, how come he get away with it? Well, that is a question for the police to answer that they never stood charged for or answered, because to be honest, I sort of want to sue the government and the police for their lack of work, because like if they would have done what they should have done, this would never have happened to me. So
yeah, and it could have had a very different ending as well.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you feel about the fact that he gets opportunities and things now?
Well, does he really? Or does he just say so?
That just blew my mind. Of course.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny. People say that, oh, what do you think about him doing this and this? And you're like, okay. So I was stupid to get into the trap. But you think that he's doing all of this just because he said so on a TikTok?
Have you seen my God,
what he have actually done something or anything?
Oh, my God. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole lesson that you're trying to teach people. Don't believe what you see.
No, because just because like he tells something to a magazine and they write about it doesn't make it true. So it's not really working out for him. I haven't seen him done any real work. If someone have, please send me, because like I haven't seen anything. And I think it would be, I think I have seen one company, Taki company, sending the birthday wishes. It's the only company who have given him like any space at all. So yeah, good luck. Like I don't, I would be surprised if something good happens to him. Like
Prilila, I absolutely adore you. Do you think there's going to be a movie about this?
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens. I mean, you never know. It got like all the recipe, and I think there is like a lot of interest around it as well. So yeah, let's see.
Your message is girl power, women supporting women, let's have each other's backs. And it's been so inspiring to talk to you. And I know that you are going to change the world by speaking about victim blaming, by speaking about, you know, all of these terrible things that happen to people. And I'm really excited to follow your journey. And thank you so much for speaking to me today. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Good Glow today, and thank you so much to Prilila for opening up about her story on the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please make sure to subscribe. That means all my latest episodes will land in your library. You don't even have to download them, and you'll get a little notification for when they go live. There's a link to our retreat in the show notes, and I'll see you next week.